Father God, we just want to thank you tonight just for the privilege to come and to study your word. Lord, we just thank you for the Spirit of God being here, giving us insight and revelation of this word into our lives. We thank you, Father God, that you'll just bless us, that we may understand, have a deeper revelation of the words that we speak and the things that we think. And we give you praise and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week we were talking about the importance of thoughts. We were saying that, you know, what the word says, so a man thinketh, so is he. And so we talked about how it's important that we capture our thoughts, that we don't allow our thoughts to just run amok, but that we have a responsibility to keep our thoughts in check and keep our thoughts in line with the word of God. And we said one of the things that a lot of people don't do is they don't capture their thoughts because they feel that nobody sees that. But it's important that we realize that, you know, once we start thinking in a way that contradicts the word of God, those thought processes will ultimately begin to pour out of our lives and we'll begin to reflect what we've been thinking. And, you know, you really can always tell what a person's been thinking just by how they live. You know, it just does. I mean, eventually what the Bible talks about, like, it will get down into your heart. And once it gets into your heart, that's what you start talking. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to deal with the importance of right words. Because how many of you know that once the thoughts go, the next thing that's going to follow that are the words. Words are going to follow your thought patterns. And so it is extremely important that we make sure that we deal with our thoughts so that our words will line up. And so here's my opening comment. When your thoughts are inconsistent, your words become inconsistent. It is easy to have the right confession when our emotions are happy. Isn't that true? You know, how you doing? Oh, blessed, high favor, when everything's going well. But the real test is what we speak in times of distress or trouble. Pressure will always reveal what's really in you. Say it again. Pressure will always reveal what's really in you. And so, you know, a person can talk a good game, but when pressure is applied, that's when you see the real them. How do you handle distress? Many times when our thoughts and our words are inconsistent, we revert back to old habits when stress is applied to our lives. Isn't that true? We'll run back to the thing that used to make us comfortable in the flesh. And so that tells us that we really haven't really captured our thoughts the way we should have. Because what you've been meditating on, that's what you're going to start talking. What you start talking is what you're going to start acting out. For instance, let me say this. Excellence begins first with a thought process. Always starts with a thought process. If a person does not have excellent thoughts, they will not have excellent words consistently. Now, like I said, you can say a good thing for a while when the sun is shining and everything's going well in your life. But the real test of that is when pressure comes into your life, when things don't go the way you want them to, what comes out of you? What do you really manifest? Because that's really revealing who we are. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we get our words in line. But look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Think about that for a minute. These people draw near to me with their mouths. In other words, we can come in church on Sunday morning and sing a few hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus, and your mouth may be actively involved. But look what he says. But their heart is far from me. And what does that say? That we can learn to praise God at church, but really it's what we do when we're out there in the world that really shows whether or not we really have a genuine heart of praise. So listen, he says, so we want to make sure that when we're drawing near to God, we first draw near to him with our thoughts. All of us like to be thought well of, don't we? Without even somebody saying something, we know whether or not someone thinks well towards us based on how they treat us. Well, you know, we need to think well towards the Lord, and we need to think well towards his word. Because if we do really believe that, then we will, in our words, we will honor him in everything we do beyond just coming to church. So he said, well, so we don't make sure we're not just drawing near with our mouth, but our hearts aren't really involved. That's why, you know, when we say praise God, you know, you don't want to just raise your hand because I say so, but you really want to activate your thoughts and your words towards him and not just go through the motions. Well, I've heard that song before. That's not really one of my favorite songs. You know, come on, amen. No, what activates our heart towards him is we have to concentrate more so on the words and what they're saying. And do they really reflect how we think about God? You know, we sing, "I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today." When you sing that, where does that come from? Does it come out of this religious tradition, or does it really come from a thought, a mindset that has been thinking on the Lord and thinks of him in that way? So then those songs don't become hard for you to sing because you've already been thinking that way in your thought life. But when you got to prod people, come on now, sing, come on, sing, 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 come on, jump on in. You know, when you got to keep doing that all the time, that's an indication you haven't really been thinking about that. Make sense? All right. See, so it says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And we want to make sure our heart is there. Amen. And I'm telling you, if the only way your heart will get there is first your thoughts go there. What the Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he. And so before I go there with my words and with my actions, my thoughts got to go there, which will reflect in my life. All right? It's important we don't simply learn to say the right things religiously and inwardly have no faith connected to what we are saying. So you can say all the right things, but is your heart involved in that? You know, is there faith in, you know, when you say thank you, Lord, is that really coming from a place where you've been thanking him all week long? Or is, you know, well, this is a song we typically sing every week, so we kind of get in there. See, that's not, you're drawing near with your mouth and with your lips, but your heart isn't really involved in it. And we want to make sure our heart is in it. Amen. When you say, thank you, Lord, it should come from a place where you've been meditating and thinking about the things he's done for you. So that when you sing those songs mean something to you. Think of Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So think about what you say. This happened one Sunday, was at Miss Mother Tibbs. And I thought about this later on. I never did get back to it. But I was thinking about when we came in once, and I'm sure y'all remember this. We came in one morning, everybody was talking about the news and all the bad stuff that happened, you know, and all the stuff. And, you know, the Bible says that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and our hearts into his courts with praise, right? How many of you can agree with that verse? That's how we should enter in. But how many of you know now that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are God's dwelling place. You are his tabernacle. So that means you're always in the tabernacle. So you should constantly be living in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving towards him. Why? Because you're not going to the house. You are the house. Amen. And so, you know, I thought about that. I said, man, you know how important it is for us to disconnect from the world so that we can connect with him. Amen. Come in with an attitude. I'm here to praise God. I'm here to learn something. And I'm coming in with an anticipation and an expectation that God's going to speak to me, that God's going to minister to me. And that, you know, if we do praise the word, then I'm going to minister to him. You see what I'm saying? You want to enter into that. And so, I, you know, again, our words got to be there, connected with thoughts that initially go before us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So then what you talk is what you get. And again, when I say what you talk consistently, that's what you're going to get. If your lips are filled with questions all the time, but you never have answers coming from your lips, then if all you have when you spend time with God are questions, then all that's going to produce in you is doubt. But you got to go sometimes into the presence with his answers. Lord, this is what you said in your word, and I just want to come thanking you for what you said. Amen. Even like people say, well, I'm waiting on my healing. But the Bible says you were healed. So then, if you approach it with an attitude that you're going to try to get something and your words convey, I'm trying to get this, then really what you're doing is sowing those seeds of doubt because you're trying to get what you already got. And we don't want to live in a place where we're trying to get stuff we already got. We need to learn how to receive it. Well, one of the ways you receive is with your words. Don't let your words go south. Well, you know, I know people come down sometimes with no prayer for healing and stuff. You lay hands on, pray for them, and they walk around and they leave there almost with this defeated attitude because they didn't get this instant bam. But healing is already yours. What you're doing just by connecting your faith is saying, I'm just by faith receiving what's already mine. And since I already got it, I can go with a praise on my lips, come on, amen, a thanksgiving in my heart, and I can think well of it. And I don't think, well, you know, that preacher, really, he must not have been anointed because I ain't getting my healing. Come on, amen. How can I really give you something that's already yours? All I can really do is help you activate your faith to receive what he already made available to you. And so you don't really look to me for it because he's already given it to you. But we can come together and agree in faith to get some things done, to see the manifestation of it. Matthew 15:18. He says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Think about that. So it's not the thought that's going to defile you. It's what you allow to come out of your mouth that's going to ultimately defile you. But what's going to come out of your mouth is determined by what you've been thinking on. How many of you can say, man, there's things I'm believing God for. I'm believing God for some things in my life. So if you're believing God for it, is there an answer already in his word concerning what you're dealing with? So then, what are you talking? Are you talking that answer? When you go talk to him about it, are you saying, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you declared in your word, and I just receive it by faith? And then when I think about that thing or that issue, or whatever the situation is, I can raise my hands and thank you, Lord, for your answer, and I praise you for it. See, that's keeping my words in line with that. That's keeping faith on my lips and faith in my thoughts. All right. Is it? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles a person. So then, you know, again, what gets in your heart is what you've been meditating on, what you've been thinking on. So we want to make sure we're thinking on, come on, the right things. Amen. Look at Proverbs 12:18 says. He said, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. So your healing is right where? Is where? It's in your mouth. Remember, everything is in you in seed form. What gives life to those seeds is the words you speak. Amen? So if you have seeds on the inside of you, but you never water them with the word of God, with faith, come on, amen, then guess what? The seed ain't going to grow, even though it's there. And so, you know, like again, a lot of times people are looking for someone else to get them something that's already been given to them. So what are we talking about? The importance of the right words. Amen? Because if you got right words, you can have wrong words. Look at Ephesians 4:29. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but such as is good for building up, as fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, where are we responding? To what? Let no corruption proceed from our mouth. Now, what's a corrupt word? Anything that's contrary to his will, anything that's contrary to his word, anything you say that don't line up with what he promised. Come on, amen. So we got to make sure we keep that stuff in line, y'all. We got to put a guard over our mouth. That's not God's responsibility. That's yours. Amen. You know, how many know that to learn something new, it takes you disciplining yourself to learn it, right? And here's the thing. You got to see the reward of the discipline or the reward of what you're going after. It's the reward of what you're going after that produces discipline in your life. And if you're really not going after anything and you're sitting down with a chair waiting on God to do something, guess what? It will not birth in you in a heart of excellence. It will not birth in you a desire to go after anything. And all you'll do is sit around and wonder why God's not doing this and wonder why God's not doing that. Why? And God says, well, no, I've already done all that. What I need for you to do, I now need you to go after it. You say, well, how do I go after it, Pat? I start out with my words. How many of you can talk yourself into anything? Isn't that true? You can talk yourself into anything. So the question, what are you talking yourself into? Are you talking yourself into doubt and unbelief, or are you talking yourself into faith? See, faith says, I don't have to feel it. I just say it because that's what my father said. And so many times we are a feeling conditioned people that we look towards feelings to justify what we say. But no, we say what we want to say based on what the Father says and let our feelings catch up. Amen. So let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but such is as good for building up. So listen, what do you say about yourself? What do you think about yourself? Remember a song we sing, he's all I need, he's all I need, Jesus is all I need. And we say that, right? We sing that song. He satisfied our need. He supplied. Come on, amen. We sing that, but then, okay, if you're single today, what did you say? Come on, he all I need. Let me tell you something. If he's not enough for you, if he doesn't come to the place where he's enough for you, he will not send you somebody to help you ignore him. When I came to the place where I said, you know what, you're enough for me. If I got to be single for the rest of my life serving you, I'll be content with it. That's when he sent somebody. Then he's going to send somebody while you're still saying, I need somebody, Lord. I need some. And God says, you got me. You're not enough. The El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, is not enough for you. And I'm not saying, listen, and I'm not saying we don't have longings. I believe that some of us are called to be married. You know, we do. We're called. There are people who are called to be married. But if that's where all your focus is and he doesn't become your everything. See, come on. The everything can't give you anything extra if he's not your everything. Because if he gives you something else besides him, then that thing will, you will often try to use that thing or that person to complete you when really Jesus is the one that has already completed you. You know, come on. It's not two halves making a whole. It's two wholes making a whole. And you got to be a whole person in him so you can recognize a whole person. Come on, amen. You can't recognize a whole person if you're not whole. Amen. But see, all those wrong thoughts produces wrong words in your life. And see, we'll say, yeah, pray, love Jesus, my everything. But then in our thoughts, we'll be thinking, Lord, I just wish I had somebody. I just wish I had somebody. Just wish I did. You think, and your mind, this is, your mind is constantly running that over and over in your mind. And he said, why come God's not sending me anybody? Because he said, because I'm not enough for you. And our God is a jealous God. He's not jealous of you. He's jealous for you. He says, no, I want to be your everything. So that when I'm your everything, I'll give you everything. Ooh, glory to God. He'll give you everything when he's your everything. Because you know why? Because when he's your everything, he can trust you to know that you won't leave him when somebody else show up. I know people who were single for years. But I want to be married. I want to be married. I want to be married. Got married, didn't see him no more. Left God, left church, everything. See, he wasn't there, everything. All right, look at Matthew 12:36. He says, I tell you on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Every careless word you speak. He said, you got to give an account for that. Now, I don't know about you, but that led me to do a lot of quick repenting. Lord, I blew that. I should have said that. Because if I judge myself, then he won't judge me. But if I didn't let that stuff hang out there and linger, like, no, son, come on now. I've got things that I want you to speak, but if you don't speak them, they'll never come to be. Come on, amen. See, remember this, and I heard this a long time ago, but you are a speaking spirit. You have to speak. It's not God. See, he already ordered your end from your beginning, but you got to speak into it being. Because you are a speaking spirit. See, what Jesus did was he modeled for you what you were supposed to be. See, Jesus, let me touch you with this. Jesus, when in his earthly ministry, did not walk in the glory that was originally his. He walked in the glory that was originally Adam's to show you what you could do in the earth with the glory that God gave the first Adam. But then he went back and said, I'm getting my glory back. This ain't enough for me. He went back and got his glory back. But he walked in the earth. He only walked in the glory that was ours to show us what we could do. That's why he's our example. That's why we don't say things like, man, you know, well, that was Jesus. But yet Jesus himself said, greater works than these shall you do. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall drink any dead thing, shall not harm them. And so he tells us that all these signs follow those who what? Believe. Not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Simply those who choose to believe. But we got to speak. See, if you want to get somebody healed, you can't be quiet. You got to speak. In the name of Jesus. Right? You got to speak it. You know, it's not my job to speak it for you. I can lead you in it. But it's your job to really connect with me so I can help activate your faith so you can start believing. But I can't believe for you always. Now, for a season, God will allow that. If you're like a children of things that you do for Lauren right now because she's a little child, you know, you wipe her little bottom. But guess what? When she turned 40, that ain't happening no more. Am I telling the truth, right? You're not going to you're not going to at 16 go on and get her food out of the fridge for her. There's something she is equipped to do for herself at that point. And God is the same way. When you're a babe, he'll do things for you. But he's always trying to wean you to help you grow up. Start telling you, use your big boy words. Use your big girl words, right? All right. He'll let you cry something. You know, you ever notice that when you first got saved, you can sit around and cry and whine, and God step in and do it for you anyway? Why? Because you're a little baby. He understands. But eventually he began to talk to you and say, okay, you need to change your confession. You need to start taking responsibility for what you're saying. And then the things that when you used to cry, he used to show up, then he just stopped showing up. Just like you used to do. You know, when your little baby start crying, you run in there, what's going on? You okay? Now, like, boom, yeah, it ain't a serious cry. Isn't that true? You start getting weaned from that because you understand, I cannot keep trying to bless them when I know if blessing them will hinder them. All right. Look at Proverbs 16:24. I really just gave y'all a bunch of scriptures. I just want you to see how much the word talks about our words. It says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You can talk yourself sick. You can talk yourself depressed. You can talk yourself broke. Come on, amen. You can talk yourself into poverty. You can talk that stuff. And God says, no, what I want you to do is say what I say about you. So which means we got to identify with who we are in him so that we can say about ourselves what he sees. And if we start saying what he sees, we'll start seeing it too. All right. And so let me say this about the importance of right words. This is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to take the time to confess the word. It's our responsibility to set aside some time where we just speak what God says about us. Say this, I am full and satisfied to the overflow. Don't that beep saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't that beep that though? It's better to say I'm satisfied to the full, to the overflow. It feels better. You will immediately feel your spirit rise up just by saying that. Just by saying you feel better. Why? Because that's how God sees you. Colossians 3:8. He said, but now you must put all away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Angry words, then you need to get rid of them. Wrath, you need to get rid of them. Why? You know why? Because that's going to lead to murder. Well, I ain't never killed nobody. You can kill somebody with your mouth. You really can. You can kill folk with your mouth. You can destroy a person with your words. You know, that little son, sticking stone may break my bone, but names will never hurt me. That was a lie. Names do hurt. Amen. He says anger, wrath, malice, slander. Because I'm telling you, all this deals with emotion. You know, you start slandering folk when you get mad or hurt. You say any old thing. Listen, end up seeing talk from your mouth. Anything that's obscene, anything that don't please God, you need to put that from your mouth. Amen. Look at Proverbs 13:3. It says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So don't talk too much. Come on, amen. You got to set a trap over your mouth. I got this little note on my computer at work. It's a little post. It says, speak the word only. And I see that every day I go to work, and I see that, and it reminds me. And sometimes I forget it's there, and I look up and go, oh, got to check myself. But listen, but whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So guard your mouth. You say, well, now listen, what's the best way to, somebody, y'all tell me, what is the best way to guard your mouth? Guard your thoughts. But what's the best, another way? Y'all give me some ideas. What's some ways to guard your thoughts? Because it means to guard your mouth. Because there's no need telling you to guard your mouth if you don't know how to guard your mouth. That's like saying shoot a gun, but you don't have a gun. Well, I'm going to shoot. Come on, stand prayed up. That's a good way. Guard your mouth. Stay prayed up. Anything else? How about keeping the word of God on your lips? That's a good trap over your mouth. Speak the word only. Keep the word on your lips. What does Psalms 1 say? Blessed the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon that law doth he what? Meditate both day and night. Now the word meditate means to mutter. It means to mumble it to himself. Speak the word to yourself. You know, you ought to get in the habit of walking in your house and say, boy, I'm blessed and highly favored. Boy, the Lord loves me. Man, my daddy got me. He's good to me. Just get in the habit of saying that to yourself all the time. Thinking that to yourself. Ooh, come on, just that he loves me. Come on, amen. You know, we heard this, everybody heard of the David Crowder Band? Oh, man, he got a song, it says, he is jealous for me, love's like a hurricane, and I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his mercy. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us so. But I love that part. It says, he is jealous for me. Ooh, I sing that all the time. He's jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane, and I am a tree. Come on, man. Amen. That's how he loves us. He loves us. And it goes on, he loves us. I want to bring it, put it on the screen. It's a beautiful song. And I mean, but I sing that song to myself. And I say, you know, because it reminds me how important I am to him and how much he delights in me and loves me. And you know, isn't it better to say that than say, where you at, God? Where are you, Lord? I don't know why the Lord ain't doing that. Where you at, Lord? That just gets you depressed real fast, don't it? But singing, he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree. It just blesses me. And I say to y'all, it's good to be on the same page with people who have that same mentality. That he's jealous. I mean, come on now. Iron sharpeneth iron. You ever try to, you know, encourage somebody that they want to be encouraged? And then you feel more drained than they do about this. All said and done, you're like, I need to go pray now. Well, what is that? Somebody who is adamant about not keeping their words in line with the Father's. And sometimes people wallow in their sorrow. They like it because they like the sympathy. I don't want no sympathy. I just want to be free. Proverbs 21:23. It says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Come on, amen. Keep your tongue and keep your mouth. You stay out of trouble. Because, you know, we all get in trouble when we first start talking, don't we? Talk ourselves into trouble. So keep your mouths and keep your tongues and to stay out of trouble. Make sure, you know, be careful even with the people you run with and hang with that, you know, God bless them, but, you know, folk can really, you know, get you negative real fast. Folks, listen, one reason why I don't talk about the news a lot, because people go negative so quick. Boy, it don't take long, do it. Man, you start talking about the news, you wouldn't think anything good is happening in the world. You know, and so it breeds fear. Well, you start talking negativity and the negative of life, that's all you will have left is fear anyway. And so, you know, I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about the news. Let's talk about something good. Let's talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's doing. And it's not that, you know, people say, you know, oh, I got to know what's going on in the world. I need to know what's going on in the kingdom more than I need to know what's going on in the world. Because if I know what's going on in the kingdom will allow me to see the world in its proper perspective. So I want to know what's going on in the kingdom. I want to know what my Father is saying. I want to know what he's saying in this hour and in this hour that we're living in. I want to know what his will is right now. You know, looking at negativity, have you noticed that when you look at the news, your life gets kind of hazy? His voice gets kind of hazy? And it becomes hard to focus on what you really need to be doing in him because you got the news before you? So now I cut back on my, well, some years ago, I cut back on my news watching. But I felt better. I just felt better. I didn't feel like, oh, my God, I'm going outside, someone's going to shoot me. I didn't have that, you know, because I know if I used to watch the news a lot, I was always negative towards politics and negative towards politicians and negative about the economy and negative about jobs. And I noticed, like, you know, I don't like being negative because this just don't feel good. So I had to kind of cut that stuff out. And I found that I could now see it in its proper perspective because now I'm seeing it through the kingdom's view and not the world's view. Now, listen, Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Come on, amen. Now people, and I'm gonna tell you something. When you're not a person who's verbally, you verbally fight back with people, people will think you're weak. People will accuse, oh, I don't fight back. I wouldn't take that. I was you. Well, you're not me. Amen. And I'm working on something. Because, see, the minute I respond to them, then they're now in control. And I just have to, you know, remind, I refuse to let somebody control my life other than Jesus. All right, listen to this. So a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So listen, you got to be mindful of that. Don't let people pull you out of walking in love under the guise that if you don't say something, I'm not no doormat. I ain't no doormat. For sometimes, you know what? Sometimes you almost have to act like a doormat so that glory can be seen. I mean, seriously. I mean, I think about all the people that called me stuff and yelled at me. Over the years, I just like, you know what? Praise the Lord. You know? Oh, well, it's all good. Why? Because it doesn't affect me. You know when it affects me? It's when I receive their words and I allow their words to burst some negative response from me. That's when that's why I don't receive people's negativity and, you know, whatever, say what you want to say, brother. God bless you. Go home. Got time for all that. Amen. Too busy being free, y'all, to worry about that stuff. But people will, and the enemy will, I'm going to tell you, the enemy will use that against you. He'll tell you, now, God ain't call you to get abused and be no doormat. You know, really? Well, go tell Jesus that. Because he could have spoke a word, got across just like that, called down a legion of angels and wiped everybody out. And been, he could easily have done that. But sometimes you got to go through that to get to the next level. All you got, see, but the thing is, the most important thing, y'all, in dealing with people like that, you got to know what the will of God is for you in that specific situation. There have been times when God has, and most of the time God has just told me, don't say nothing. Just keep your mouth shut. That's probably 98% of the time God tells me, keep your mouth shut. But then there's that 2% where God says, no, you need to go ahead and deal with that. That's why you got to be kingdom minded and not earthly minded, because the world will tell you you should always come back and you should respond and shouldn't let people dog you and mistreat you. Well, go tell Jesus that. But 3 days later, the love of the Father raised him up and set him on high and put all things under his feet. Come on, amen. See, my job is to humble myself to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because if I know what he wants me to do, then I can say what he wants me to say in the midst of the situation. But see, if you get in your flesh and listen to the world will tell you, always fight back. Respond with flesh. They get mad, you get mad back. Don't you let nobody mistreat you. I'm glad Jesus didn't have that mentality. Amen. So look at James 1:26. I love this one. It says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. See, so you can't be impressed by all the talk. That's why I say you can't be impressed by all the religious talk that people do. Look at how they deal with pressure. Look at how they deal with life. Look at how they deal with the day-to-day stuff. That's what you let you know somebody's relationship with God is real. It's the day-to-day things, how they talk about the situations of life. Because that's really what's gonna show folk. The world needs to see somebody who see us respond to situations differently than the way they do. And sometimes for a season, it will look like we're losing, but only for a season. For a season, it looked like Jesus was losing, but it was only for a season. But that season led him into eternal victory. Come on, hallelujah. So just find out what the Lord wants you to do in the midst of those type of situation. And don't be impressed, because listen, I've seen people chase after people because they seem to be religious at church and because they dance across the aisle. I'm like, you better look deep in that, you know, because they dance. You know, they dance real good. Drop it like hot. I'm serious. Go look at the YouTube. They got dancers all over the YouTube. And then the very next one, they fighting in the church, throwing uppercuts. So I'm just saying, don't be moved by that stuff. That's why you need to be in tune with the Father, and so you can hear, and so you can see it the way the Father sees it. Amen. Proverbs 29:20. It says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? there is more hope for a fool than for him. Don't be doing a lot of talking. Sometimes it's good to just listen. You know, and because you can learn a lot just by listening to people. And, you know, like I said, when being a pastor, you know, I do have a privilege to sit with a lot of pastors. And, you know, and I really had to come to a place where, I was just sitting and listening to them talk until they asked me something. I used to try to interject stuff just to seem like I had something to say. And it just always fell flat. And so I just learned, you know, just to sit there. And if the Lord give me something, I'll say something. If he doesn't, I'll sit there and just listen. And because the reality is, and I heard Pastor Kyle say this. He said, you already know what you know. But if you be quiet, you may actually learn something, which is true. And I learned a lot just by sitting there and being in the presence of other ministers and other pastors and just listening to them. I was like, wow. I mean, I learned a lot of things to do and not do just by listening. So I don't have to feel important. See, you know, again, if I'm like that in the midst of a bunch of pastors where I feel like I got to say something, that's an indication in my thought life, I feel less than. And I know I don't have to feel less than. Amen. I can just be myself and do what I'm called to do and be comfortable saying nothing and learning what I need to learn and praise God for it. And if he gives me something, I can say something. If he don't, I won't. And be comfortable with that. But just don't be talking just to be talking. Because Christians are bad about that. Now, you know, we all know Christians can be bad about that. They talk, just be talking to hear themselves talk. And, you know, and we don't want to be like that, you know. Now, I'm very talkative. But if I'm talking about Jesus, I'm extremely talkative. But if I'm not talking about you, I'm not very talkative at all. You know, I mean, you guys look and say, man, pastor preached for 2-3 hours. But that's because I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm talking about the word. But typically, I'm not very talkative when I'm around people. I don't say a whole lot. You know, I can just sit there and be quiet. You know, but the word is different when I'm ministering the word. All right. So don't be hasty with your words. Don't be quick to always try to find an answer for everybody. As Christians, don't we always feel like that we're obligated to have an answer for everybody? No, if God don't give you that, don't send that. Just give him a hug. Say, I love you. Sometimes that's all they need. We don't always have to have. See, let me say it this way. Sometimes the answer is just not saying nothing and listening to people. But we got to hear the Lord about what we need to do. Because have you ever had a person with a problem and you watch other Christians trying to minister to them, and before the person can even tell them the whole problem, they're jumping in, telling them everything. And I'm bad about that, so I had to catch myself. And I was like, wait a minute, shut up, Donald. Just be quiet and listen. Shush. You know, I had to catch myself. You know, like, at least I know my area. And but it's rude. And yes, I've been rude. My God. Imagine that. But, you know, I'm learning to this pull back and just listen to people. And listen and listen and listen until the Lord gives me something. If he doesn't give me nothing, I don't say anything other than, hey, if you need me, I'm here for you. I love you. You know, that's about as good as it gets. But, you know, I'm learning this even more and more just to listen to people. You know, because people really, I found this out, many people will come to their own answer just by talking, letting them talk it through. And so I'm learning not to have to, I don't necessarily have to fix somebody's problem for them. Sometimes the fixing is in letting them work it out through their words. So don't be hasty with words, because, you know, hasty words can hurt people. You know, it can really hurt people, and we don't want to do that. Amen. So if we've done that, Lord, I repent in Jesus' name. Look at Psalms 19:14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be what? Acceptable in his sight. Okay, listen to this. What's acceptable in his sight? It's us speaking his words. And let me challenge you. When you have some prayer time, when you're talking, or you're just talking to the Lord, which is prayer, all prayer is just communicating with him. You know, in that time that you're communicating with him, come up with the answer from the word and declare that to him. You know, the Bible says, he says, put me in remembrance. Now, why does he say put me in remembrance? Because it's not like he can forget nothing. But it'll help you to remember what he promised you. And, you know, I honestly believe he loves hearing us talk just like him. just like I love seeing my son act just like me. It just blesses you when you see them emulating you. And it's just, you know, wow. And I think God is the same way. He says, put me in remembrance of the things I've said to you. Remind me. You know, if I tell John, Saturday we're going to the church, guess what? If it's Monday, guess what? We're going to the church today, Dad? No, that's Saturday, so that's 5 days. Okay. Next day, Dad, we going to the church? No, you got 4 more days. So he will ask me every day if we're going. Is this the day we go to church? No, so this ain't the day. You know, he asked me that through the week. Why? Because he's putting me in remembrance. I didn't forget, but he's constantly putting me in remembrance, which blesses me because I'm thinking, all right, wow, he's really excited about going to church. You know, so I'm just saying that the Father's the same way. He wants you to put him in remembrance of the things he's promised you from his word where your life is concerned. Look at James chapter 3, 1 through 12. Before I go on, anybody have any questions about anything? Everybody good? Okay. James 3, starting at verse 1, it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Wow. So he going to hold us really accountable for our words because we're teaching it. Amen. Look, he says, for we all stumble in many ways. Thank God he knows that. He says, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man or mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. So he said, if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole life. So what does that say? I need to work on my thoughts and so my thoughts line up, get my words lined up so my life can get in control. If your life is out of control, it's because your words are out of control. If your words are out of control, it's because your thoughts are out of control. Listen, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. In other words, I know that can seem like a negative, but it's also a positive that your mouth can become the fire in your life that totally changes everything where your destiny is concerned. It can start as a small thing, but it can create such a great fire of glory in your life and change the whole direction of your life through your words. Ooh, hallelujah. So it seems like, you know, it seems like we got to really work on our words. And really, I believe all we really have to do is stick with the word of God. All right, look at this. Proverbs 15:4. Listen to this. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So your words can produce life in someone, or you can destroy someone with your words. You can break someone's spirit with your words. A critical spirit, critical words towards a child can totally devastate and break that child to where that child don't even believe in themselves. You know, that's even true for a pastor. A pastor, he has to be very careful with the words he chooses in dealing with people, because even though, you know, people are physically adults, they are spiritually children. And you can easily break their spirits if you're not sensitive to the Spirit of God and how you need to deal with them. And you can't just be, you know, a pastor has to correct, but he can't just be critical on everything. You know, the ones that get put and argue from the pulpit at people? That's horrible. That's not what you do that. Love pulls them to the side, takes them in private, sits down, and have a conversation with them. Love don't call them out in the pulpit. Not from the negative perspective of it. Amen. So amen. We don't want to do that. So we don't want to be critical of people. Amen. If I've done that, Lord, forgive me. I don't recall, but if I did, Lord, forgive me. All right. Proverbs 17:28. Listen, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Glory to God. So they don't have to know if you're smart or not. Just stop talking. They'll think you're real smart. I mean, seriously. You can ruin many a job interview by talking too much. You really can, boy. But listen, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Come on, amen. Look at Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Wow. A word fitly spoken. I mean, that word fits the situation. It is fitly spoken. Boy, pray God. We got to pray for wisdom. Amen. Amen. This is the tongue. Look at Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. See, didn't know God had this much to say about words, did he? He has a lot to say about words. Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So what you putting in is what's going to come out. If you're putting in doubt and unbelief, that's what's going to come out. If you're putting in fear, that's what's going to come out. Come on, amen. But if you're putting in faith, that's what's going to come out. If you're putting in confidence is what's going to come out. Amen. If you're putting in a high self-esteem is what's going to come out of your life. What you put in is what you get out. Think of your heart as a jar. Think of your heart as a jar. Your thoughts are what's dropping things into the jar. Your words are what's watering what's in the jar, or it's causing what's in the jar to multiply. All right. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So remember the commercial, just never let them see you sweat. Just never let them see you sweat. Just act cool. They cuss you out, just cool. It's all right. It's all good. Just be cool about it. People yell at you, just be cool. Just be cool. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. Just be cool. Don't go, oh, no, you did. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You finna start a fight because she gonna start kicking off earrings, or he, whoever, they go, you know, don't do that. Just take a minute to breathe and let the Lord speak to you. Okay, Lord, what I need to do in this one? And like I said, 98% of the time, God tells me to say nothing. But every now and then, God says, you need to say something to him. Okay. But it's always in obedience to him. And it always works out. Amen. Romans 12:14. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. What did it say? Don't curse them. In any form or fashion, don't curse them. Don't meditate on cussing them. Or hurting them, or kicking them, or smacking them, or just, you know how we have those in our head conversations of stuff we say, like an emergency broadcast going off in your head. Now that ain't good, y'all. That's not good. Because you think that long enough, you're gonna find that every time you walk by that person, if you're thinking like that, you're gonna show them that you don't like them. And that is not good. That is not the love of God. Well, we got some work to do, don't we? Woo. I said we, not y'all. I said we got some work to do. I'm in there with you, praise the Lord. Amen. True, I ain't arrived yet. I'm working just like you are. So he said, bless those who persecute you. Come on, amen. One great way to bless people who persecute, just pray for them. Pray for them till you start feeling it. I mean, I pray, man, I ain't feel nothing. I ain't feel not even a goosebump for him. I ain't feel nothing. I kept praying for him and praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And eventually I started feeling this compassion in me start rising up for him. But it took a while, but I had to keep praying for him and praying for him. And then, you know, they'll do something to make me mad again. Then guess what? I got to start all over again. Pray for him more. Pray. And that compassion will come back. But that's how you get over it. That's how you endure people that persecute you. Keep praying for them. Just keep praying. Keep on doing what you know is right. Go ahead, man. Keep on doing what you know is right to do. All right. Wow. Okay, I got 3 minutes. Look at Proverbs 17:9. It says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Come on now, amen. Love covers, and love covers by not repeating things and rehearsing things. And sometimes it's just best to go to God and vent. Amen. Just shut the door, go in, and you and God just, okay, I'm done now. What you got to say? You know what we going to say? Love your enemies and do good to those who despitefully use you. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for listening to me. All right. This is Proverbs 16:23-24. The heart of the wise makes speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Amen. All right, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. Come on, amen. Woo, glory to God. Thank God for the word. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Now, come on. We just said earlier about what? Listening to people. Just let them talk it out. Listen to them. John 8:31-32. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we keep the word of God on our lips. Come on. Amen. So I pray it blesses you, amen, and that, you know, we see the importance of the right words in our lives. And so, you know, anybody got any questions, any comments? Any questions, any comments? Everybody good? Everybody well? All right, so if nothing else, we go pray and let you guys go home. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you tonight just for your word, Lord. We just thank you for just helping us to keep the right words on our lips, Lord. And I pray that the Spirit of God would continue to work with us, Father, and just remind us and speak to us, Lord, and just convey your love for us, Lord, and help us to get our words in line with you and our thoughts, Lord. And we just want to thank you for it, Lord, and we want to praise you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for safe travel tonight for everyone heading home, and we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.